Hey there, folks. It's the frequency from beyond space and time, at the same time, every time. You're listening to Mantar Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Mantar Radio. I'm your host, Dan, joined by my co-host, Christian.
Hey.
And we are back behind the mic, and I would like to give you an apology from the bottom of my heart. There was no episode last week, but that's because I was getting destroyed by Hurricane Ida, and crazily enough, when I was like, hey, I'm good to record, Christian goes, nah, the Ida leftovers are destroying Philly.
Yeah, I got the backwash a couple days later.
So, I mean, this just leads me to believe that we're being targeted with a weather machine.
You know, sometimes people talk about that, the chemtrail weather control, and I look up at the sky and I go, yeah, those do look kind of mischievous. I'm kind of scared of those.
Probably the biggest, I guess, selling point for a weather machine for me was on Thursday when, all day long, we were working outside. We were working inside. We were in the office, nice and cool, air conditioned. And then for the last hour and a half of work, we had to go outside. But I wasn't really that concerned about it because, you know, it'd been gray, overcast, kind of breezy all day. But I shit you not, legitimately, the hour that we were outside working, the fucking clouds parted and I was just getting beat down with ultraviolet death rays. And then when we were done, the clouds just closed back up.
They gave you that one window of opportunity.
I was like, fuck this place, dude.
Oh, yeah, I did find it curious. The last storm day we had, the only time it really came down was 8 in the morning when I was waiting for my trolley to get in, and 5:15 when I was waiting to take it out.
Exactly.
And I don't know who was calling the shots on that one, but they had their fucking target on me.
We're being targeted. But, you know, moving on. I also just didn't have a lot of time this week to research with the hurricane aftermath and all that good stuff, and work has just been, you know, well, it's work. No one likes going to work, but it's been some long, arduous days, and I had all day today to find something, and nothing was really speaking to me, and I said, hey, let's do the personal experiences, Christian.
Yeah, it's been a break glass in case of no good ideas sort of option for a while now.
I didn't want it to be, but I mean, I've also just wanted to talk about the personal experiences for a good while now. Yeah. Personal experiences are fun, and they're part of what, you know, made me and Christian want to do this podcast. Now, don't get your hopes up too much, because at least myself, I don't have anything like crazy. I wasn't abducted. I didn't like come face to face with like Bigfoot. But I got some stories that kind of got under my skin a little bit.
That's usually about where I'm at too, where it's like, I'm not saying that I saw the beast in front of me, but I've felt very uncomfortable at moments.
Now, Christian, would you like to kick us off?
Sure. Is there any particular one you're trying to fish out of me to start with?
Give me one of your earliest.
Earliest. I think probably some of the earliest experiences I've had feeling like not right or something very strange. I've gone into repeated instances here on the show about dealing with nightmares
Yeah.
That have since evolved into sleepwalking, but about, you know, once a month, I get those, like, awake but paralyzed kinds of things.
Sleep paralysis?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
jeez.
But it wouldn't be, you know, bad if I was just chilling in my bed, not being able to move. It's cool. But it always comes with this, like, oppressing feeling of being watched.
Yeah.
Like, there's something intentionally, I don't know if it's targeting or if it's, like, manipulating what's happening, but it always feels like something is, like, either just around the corner or just, like, watching outside of view. That really makes it very unpleasant.
So you, like, you wake up and it's not like classic sleep paralysis where there's, like, a demon standing over you or something like that, but, like, you just feel like you're being watched.
That would be so much, I think, nicer if the demon would be standing in the corner.
Like, why would that be nicer?
I feel like at least I would have something to, like, focus my anxiety towards. It's like living in that that moment with the violin swell in a horror movie, but it never gives you the tension relief. You're just constantly living in that, like, anxious state.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't had one in a while, actually, but they kind of rock my socks. I'm pretty out of it the day that they happen.
Is there a specific instance that you come back to that, like, just you can't get over?
There was one where I wasn't conscious. I sometimes, like I said, a sleepwalk. And people tell me this story about I was at, like, a friend's house at a, like, early teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've come to sort of narrow down a couple of factors that make it happen. It's like if I go to bed extremely exhausted, like bone dead, hit the floor tired, that causes a nightmare. Or if I'm in a new place for the first night, that'll cause some strange things to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm at a friend's and they tell me that all night I kept getting up and trying to get out of the house.
What the fuck?
Like, I was desperately trying to escape and they locked the door, but I would just, like, go there and try and jiggle the handle and get out, and they would just, like, tell me to go to bed, and I was like, okay. Like, go do it again a little bit later.
So, subsequently, I hate being around sleepwalkers. You know?
I can understand that.
Seeing someone sleepwalk is, like, that just fucks me up. I'm just like, I'm like, how are you doing this right now?
It comes with, you know, that responsibility of, like, am I allowed to wake that person or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people, like, if you see me going crazy, just slap me. Like, do it. Wake me up.
Yeah. See, my grandma once got her collarbone broken by waking, like, trying that on my grandpa, because he was sleep talking, and she was like, hey, wake up, no. And, like, he just slugged her.
Oh, my God.
He just fucking cracked her one in his sleep.
I don't think I'm, like, throwing bows in my sleep. I'm usually, I don't think I'm that aggressive.
I don't know. If I see a sleepwalker, I'm, like, turning the other way. I also live in great fear of sleepwalking because, like I just said, my grandma or my grandpa, you know, he cracked my grandma in his sleep. And my mom also has, like, lucid nightmares that are akin to, like, sleepwalking. So, I mean, I've been pretty good so far, you know. My wife tells me that I talk in my sleep, mutter in my sleep, just a little bit. Nothing crazy. But I'm, like, waiting for, like, the curse to wake up, and I'm just, like, going fucking nuts in my sleep.
I've had a couple of those moments where you wake up out of it, and you're standing in, like, the kitchen, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Or like I'm standing in the corner.
That would freak me the fuck out.
I've come to accept it. It's nothing crazy like the ritual where that dude wakes up and he's like praying to the demon effigy. Nothing like that.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I don't want it to sow its seeds anywhere near me. So, I don't know. My mom also has a fuck ton of ghost stories, and I don't know. I'm just waiting until the family curse comes for me. Hopefully it just passes me, though, and goes straight to my brother.
Yeah, passes on down the line.
Yeah.
No. Are you looking for something a little more tangible? Something in the waking hours?
I'll give you something tangible. This one's anything specific that you would like to hear?
No, I'll pass it off for this time, and then we can circle back around.
All right, so in my job, I have to survey land sometimes. And when I first started this job, we just weren't doing it for the longest time. So, and it's not really one of those things that you can like train on in the book and then know how to do it when you get out there to do it for real. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things where you have to learn it by doing it. And of course, the first time we had to go do it was at night. And I don't know why we survey land at night, but
it seems like that's like counterintuitive.
You know, I think, you know, it's public land and they don't want us to fuck with the locals. And I mean, I can do everything except say it. I can do everything except say why, but
that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Don't worry. There will be a day when I can reveal my secrets.
I'm eagerly waiting that.
But anyways, we were out there surveying this land, and I'd never done it before. And, you know, my boss wanted me to learn, so he was like, all right, man, you take the lead. I'm just going to watch. And I'm like, oh, okay. And this was the same night that Tib told me about the Rougarou.
Oh, yeah.
So I was a little on edge. A little anxiety ridden after Tib told me about the werewolves of Louisiana. And so we're walking out there, and I think that I got a pretty decent hold on what I'm doing. You know, I'm checking the map, and then I'm like, my boss is like, all right, man, you know, which way? And I was like, oh yeah, we're gonna walk right here. You know, the point that we need to survey will be right over here if we just push through this brush. And he's like, all right, man. And we're just pushing through brush, and like as we're going through, it's getting like thicker and thicker, and I'm having to like shove through it, like break branches and shit.
Hate that.
And we come to like this ditch, I guess. I don't really know. It was like just as far as I could tell, it was a ditch. I thought it was a ditch, but it looked like a hole. I just figured because it was at night and I was looking at a flashlight, I couldn't see all of it.
Yeah.
And my boss is like, all right, man, you sure? And I was like, oh, he obviously wants me to doubt myself right now. You know, but I know that I'm doing the right thing. This is a lesson in trusting myself. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure. All we got to do is jump down in this ditch and come out the other side and right there.
Ditch, bro.
And so I fucking drop down and I'm sitting on the edge of the ditch and got my legs dangling over. And he's like, all right, stop. I'm like, what? He's like, I don't know where the fuck we are right now. We are lost as right now. And I was like, what? And he's like, you're really going to jump into that ditch? And I took a double take down in this ditch. And like with my flashlight, I could not see the bottom of it.
Fuck that. You about jumped in the freaking Rougarou pit.
Oh, I don't know what was about to happen. But like as soon as he said that and looked back at the ditch and I couldn't see the bottom, I just like my heart just started fucking pounding.
The gator hole. Oh my god.
I was like, this is horrible. And so he's like, all right, man, we're gonna go back to the main spot and we're gonna redo your map and we're gonna try this again. And I was like, all right. And so I jumped up and we're walking back and my heart is just fucking pounding
because
it's fucking pitch black and I'm in the middle of the woods at like 2 a.m. You know, and I almost just jumped into like a death pit.
Into the void. Yeah, that rules.
And we're walking back and he just like stops, like he just like throws his hand out in front of me and he's like, stop, stop. And I'm like, what? And then I just hear like dirt and like leaves rustling off the woods. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? And he's like, I don't know, man. It sounded like the earth shifted. And I'm like, what do you mean earth shifted? The earth doesn't just shift. What the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, I don't know, man. Let's go.
Let's just go.
So I'm like, what the fuck? And we keep walking back and I see Tib coming the opposite direction. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, let me get a fucking cigarette, dude. I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now? He's like, Jesus, man, are you all right? And I'm like, no, I'm not all right. That was a rough night. That was a rough night of work.
That's super interesting because, I mean, as far as we know, nothing was there. Nothing, you know.
No, I mean, like, there's all sorts of fucking wildlife out in Louisiana. There's wild pigs. There's fucking wild horses.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of crazy shit you don't see anywhere else. And, like, I didn't even catch a glimpse of what was right there. You know, like, something just scurried off into the woods.
Do you think it might have been some kind of boar or a medium to large creature? Or do you think it could have been, like, a rabbit?
It could have been anything boar-sized or smaller, you know, but just not catching a glimpse of it, not seeing it, so never being able to be sure in my mind, I'm like, you know, I'm left to my own devices to wonder.
That's the good stuff.
Was it a baby woogaroo?
To never know. Oh.
So. Yeah, it was nuts.
That's a really good one. It's my favorite.
But comment. I mean, the whole freaks me out more.
That was definitely my favorite part of the story was the whole.
The whole freaks me out more.
The you were so like boldly ready to hop in.
Yeah, when he was like when he called me in to second guess myself and I like looked down at that hole and realized that I couldn't see the bottom, I was like, this is fucked, dude. I gotta get out of here.
Was it a sheer drop from where you were sitting?
It was a drop. It was like slightly sloped, you know, but like it would have been a drop.
No.
Like, I was just ready to hoist myself down in there.
No, sir. Not I. Sorry.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, the brush was getting thicker, you know? So, it was, like, closing in around me. I was getting, like, some claustrophobia going. I was like, we gotta go.
It
was a rough night, for sure.
I don't think I've ever been, you know, so engulfed out in the woods like that before, like late at night.
Oh, I got another late at night in the woods story.
Hell,
but
yeah.
I want to hear something you got first.
Sure. So I had the absolute pleasure of spending two summers in the North Carolina mountains.
Oh, work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dying to hear a Cherokee story.
I was with the Eastern Band of the Cherokee, working with them. And it was so fucking fun and cool to be like immersed in that those cultures and stories that they told. And the absolute terror I would feel on some of those nights, because we're in the mountain, like raw on the
hill. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's bears, there's cats of the larger variety.
Uh-huh.
And the biggest goddamn ravens you've ever seen in your life.
Ooh.
Like, big, bold, aggressive ravens. And,
Jesus.
I remember one night, there was a, both professional courtesy and a very stern warning given to workers to not go down to the work site late at night.
Uh-huh.
Like, don't be rustling around in places you're not supposed to be. And so, you know, we go exploring a couple of the guys. We make it to our massive, like, 30-foot sand pit that's on the base of the mountain. And there was a friendly warning that a spirit did not like people wandering around that place at night.
Okay.
And that if
you... So they just told you, hey, shit's haunted.
They just said, don't fuck around at night down there, and there will not be a problem.
And it was just a sand pit?
All of the Cherokee monsters and stories are very, you know, firm. They're like, don't fuck around with the things you're not supposed to fuck around with, and you will not have a problem.
Yeah.
They're all very cut and dry. Like, don't pick up an eagle feather on the ground. Don't steal shit that's not yours. Don't talk to old women in cloaks. Don't go to the sand pit.
Ooh.
Late at night.
Oh.
And
so at this point, were you thinking like, oh fuck, this is wild? Or were you like, yeah, I'm sure they tell all the white folk this when they come stay here for the summer?
I personally, yeah, there's, I assume, a little bit of like, you know, you play it up a little bit for the people, like spook them a little bit. But
yeah,
I'm there in the dead of night, standing in this massive sand pit, like illuminated by the misty, you know, overcast moon. And
there, wait, why were you in the sand pit? They told you specifically not to be.
Listen, you can only be up on that mountain for so long, and you get bored. You just do any stupid old thing you can think of.
So were you out there for the express purpose of like, let's see what you got, Cherokee?
We did go down there with the express purpose of finding out why maybe they didn't want people rustling around at night.
Oh my goodness.
And I don't remember if they had told us this or if this is something that we sort of like built amongst ourselves, but if we were very, you know, quiet, we thought that we wouldn't disturb whatever it is that is up there.
Just be quiet and the ghosts won't find us.
Yeah. And then our guy, the bravest amongst us, who was sort of hosting us,
mm-hmm.
started to call out to it.
You know, did you go down there with any of the any of the natives?
Nope.
Or like locals?
All white dudes. Oh, one Cuban.
Just whiteys fucking around.
Unfortunately so.
Specifically where the natives told them not to.
you know. Yeah. And he's very kind. You know, he calls out and he says, hey, we just wanted to say hello. We wanted to like reach out to you, and we would like some kind of confirmation. Like, can you show us your presence?
Hey, we're down here, and we're fucking around and looking to find out.
And when I tell you, I there's like 20% of me maybe that is like something fucky happened. Like I think maybe this was a really well orchestrated trick, but
uh-huh.
The fucking crack of the branch just as he asked for a response.
Oh, no.
Too much to handle.
Were you guys out? Did you just bolt?
No, we stood. I was literally frozen, unmovable. And there was this, like, it wasn't a bear noise. We'd heard bears. It wasn't the scream that the cats do, because we'd heard this cat uh-huh. scream. It was like a bassy, like, guttural, bubbly thing.
What? Right after the branch crack?
Yeah, like branch brush movement, crack, and then like this like low growly bubbly noise.
No way.
And I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here right now, bro. And I had to play cool. I had to be like, hey, that's really funny. But dude's faces start to pale out, and they like look at each other, and like, oh, it was chilling.
Was everyone trying to not freak out, so you guys like calm and collectively were just like, that's wacky, and just like walked.
It was like a who's gonna suggest that we leave first type situation.
Me. It's me. Well, I'm the guy in that situation. Like, we need to pack the fuck up.
I was like, I don't remember who it was, but I'm sure someone hit him with like, oh, I'm getting pretty tired. You know, we got to work tomorrow.
this has been fun.
But we head back up the hill and go to bed. But the actual like housing facility on the mountain had its own, you know, particular entity as well.
You know, from everything you told me about that, it sounded like that place sucked ass.
It was pretty tremendous.
I think that entire summer, we ran like one strike in Destiny.
Oh, yeah.
Because your internet was just such garbage.
It was a couple of, you know, real... like... If I had to imagine like what some farmer thinks about like what liberal arts people do with their lives, you know, just chilling up in the mountains, doing, hanging out, no Wi-Fi, just living like the communal lifestyle. It was pretty great for what it was.
Yeah, I guess.
Except when they house everybody in this like four stacked, like, it wasn't exactly trailers, but there were these like big boxy, like, you know, those homes that you can just plop down on the place.
Yeah.
And they're four going up a hill, so like one is laid on some flat, and then there's like 10, you know, 8 to 10 steps, and then there's another one, 8 to 10 steps, another one. So it becomes this really long hallway that you can sort of like look up an angle, and you can barely see the back end of the hallway.
Uh-huh.
And for years, people say that they always can see these boots walking up the hallway.
Just a rogue pair of boots?
Like something is walking up that hallway, and then they turn a corner into one of the bedrooms or turn a corner into the bathroom, and nobody ever sees what it is or ever knows what it is.
Huh.
And I'm like, oh my God, bro.
Oh. Did you see it?
I never saw the boots, but I know people who saw the boots.
Really?
Uh-huh. And he, one particular fella tried to follow them, like they went up a couple flights of stairs, and they turned a corner, and he said like nobody was there. It was gone.
Jesus Christ.
So I mean, everywhere you look there was something terrifying to be found.
That doesn't sound like fun.
Now when I look back at it, it was pretty fun. It was pretty sick.
It's only fun in reflection. In the moment, I'm like, I would rather be anywhere else on this fucking planet.
Oh, I had some of the worst like nightmares ever those two summers. Oh, it got me sometimes, but it's pretty fucking rad thinking about it now.
Yeah. Do you think it, like, have you had anything since then? Do you think it was like just being up there? Do you think you actually encountered something? I'm not trying to make you put you on the spot and be like, do you believe in ghosts, bro? But like, do you think you encountered something? Or do you think it might have just been like placebo from everyone there being like, this place is haunted?
Oh, it definitely has that energy there, and they definitely lean into it in certain moments. Like, it's a very what's the word? Like, electric atmosphere, you know. It's in the air over there.
Yeah.
So it makes 100% sense to me that things like that would happen. And the only one that I'm super, you know, looking sideways at is the one down in the sand pit.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty fucked.
It's a hard one. I mean, there's also like the bathroom that the light will sometimes go out, and when it flickers, there's a spirit in the corner.
Yeah.
I didn't go to that bathroom ever. Not once. I mean,
nah, you told me about some of the mythological creatures of Cherokee myth.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a very rich sort of creature base.
Did you ever have any encounters with any of those?
I mean, the nearest encounter to me was some people I know have professed to be in an altercation, let's say, with a certain creature.
Altercation?
That's what I would describe it as.
Okay. Which creature?
I'm trying to be, you know, respectful of, like, this man and his culture, you know?
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to keep it, like, pretty vague. But, it was let's call it, like, a skinwalker, okay? A skinwalker. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
There's a pretty convincing story, I mean, from his delivery, of a man who woke up one day, and he lives on the mountain with us, and he goes into the bathroom, and his wife is in the adjacent room.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, come in. Will you come into the room? And he's like, oh, I gotta like brush my teeth and get ready and make coffee. And she's like, okay, but you can come in. And he, you know, gets ready for the day, and he walks out onto the porch, and his wife's there smoking a cigarette. Like, and after he walked past what he had assumed was his wife beckoning him into a room. And he sort of described, like, he just stopped. He stood very still, and he's like, I'm going to stay outside for a second. I'm going to not go in that house for just a moment.
That's so fucked, man.
And that particular cabin, they stopped, they stopped living in it. They stopped letting people live in it. They stopped giving it out to people who come to work there.
Oh my God.
And it has since become this haunting, like, dilapidated, like, broken down cabin in the woods that, you know.
Have you looked upon it with your own eyes?
I walked past that thing twice a day, every day I was working there.
Jesus Christ.
You could look into it. Yeah, it's just like an abandoned little shed in the woods. And I was like, this sucks. This sucks so bad.
That sucks ass. Did you ever get a picture of it?
I'm sure there's a picture somewhere of it. It's right there on the compound, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to tell because it's one twisting road up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just lined with like these housing blocks and these cabins all up and down it. And it's right next to like four other completely fine, completely used cabins. So you wouldn't really know which one's the fucking cursed one if you were just sort of walking up.
Jesus Christ.
And,
well,
yeah, that's pretty much the most concrete encounter that I know of.
Let me go ahead and move into a Native American, I guess, haunting, you might call it. Oh. Altercation, maybe, as you described it. But so once again, for work, I had to go on a camping trip, and it was a like week-long camping trip in which we would be surveying some land and moving across the land on foot. Look, I mean, I can't say it, but if you know, you know. All right. I just don't look. I just can't say it. All right.
Got it.
But anyways, I was with Tib, and me and Tib and some other dudes that we work with are just walking for fucking days on end. And we went and moved at night, and I was like, why the fuck are we moving at night? This sucks so much ass, blah, 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 blah. And the boss was like, well, we're moving at night because looking at the map, I don't want to cross all these creeks and go through shoulder-to-shoulder brush, so we're going to make a very highly illegal movement that's like right along the highway that cuts through the woods. And I'm like, oh, okay, bet.
You were into that?
So, yeah, fuck that. I did not want to walk through the woods and jump over creeks at night. Have you ever done that? It sucks.
Can't say I have.
It sucks. You fall in every time. You can't do anything. But anyway, we walk along this highway, and every time I come by, we just, they'd be like, all right, get down. And like, you could so obviously see us, you know? But anyway, we walk, and we hit a point where we cut back into the woods along a little dirt trail. So we're not even like shoulder to shoulder through like brush or anything like that. I'm like, this ain't a bad movement. This is pretty decent, pretty easy.
Okay.
And we get to a stopping point, and my boss goes, all right, well, you know, let's bed down for the night. And we were like, all right, sweet. So we all rolled out the sleeping systems, and we were so far away from any of the other teams that were out working that night that we said, fuck it. We're going to have a fire, which is highly against the rules. We're not allowed to do that. And they were like, yeah, if you hear like a car coming, like fucking throw, like put out the fire,
just douse it, you okay. know?
And we were burning all the trash from like the food that we brought, and just, you know, it was nice. You know, we never get to have fires. We never get to do anything fun, but we also have to implement a watch, a 24-hour watch, you know?
Yep.
So me and Tib are partnered up for watch, and we got like third shift or something. And, I think our shift was like 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. There wasn't a lot of us, so we had to pull long shifts. But it was 1 a.m. to 3 a.m., and so me and Tib are sitting around the fire, and Tib was my boss at the time, technically. He was my middle manager. And he's like, all right, man, go find some firewood. And I'm like, what? Like, this is fucked. I don't get to sit around the fire. He's like, go find some firewood. And I'm like, god damn it, dude. And we're camped out behind like this gravel pit in the middle of like a clearing in the trees, and not gravel pit, a gravel pile. It was like a giant pile of gravel, and we were just camped out behind it.
Okay.
And we were not more than like 10 feet off of the off that dirt path we were along. You know, it was more like a dirt road. Cars could definitely move on it easily. But so, like, I can see for a while around me, you know? It's not like we're, like, in the woods.
Okay, this is making me feel a little better.
And, you know, it's, like, 2 in the morning. The coyotes start going crazy. And hearing coyotes for the first time when you're, like, young, it's a little annoying, you know?
Yeah.
But I've been out in the woods so much now that like it's almost comforting to a degree. But let me tell you, man, these coyotes sounded close as fuck. And I was like, oh, damn, these coyotes sound pretty close. But I was like, hey, you know, coyotes are more scared of me than I am of them. So, you know, whatever. And I'm walking around, scanning the ground for firewood, and I start getting closer to, like, the woods, you know?
Yeah.
And looking around, the coyotes are getting loud as fuck. And, like, you know, I was staring at the ground, not really watching where I was going, and I fucking bump into something.
Oh.
Right? And my heart starts racing, and I look up, and it's just a sign. You know, I was along the road, so I was like, oh, it's just a sign. What's this sign say? And it says, Native American burial ground, 1 mile up the road.
What the fuck?
And as I read the words in my mind, the coyote ceased immediately. Dead silence all around.
Oh, my God.
It was horrendous. I walked back to the campsite with like a measly gathering of firewood, and Tib's like, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, if you want more wood, you go get it. I'm like, cause that is fun.
Enough of that. Absolutely.
It was horrifying. I didn't go back to sleep after my shift ended.
Yeah, that one got you.
That one got me. I was up.
Oh, I mean, I,
yeah. Well, I don't blame and, you. The guys that were on shift after me had brought some Jack Daniels in a Coca-Cola bottle, and I was like, let me get in on that.
Yeah, you know.
Because I needed it. I was like, this is fucked, dude.
The spirits aren't going to get you if you're, you know, sipping Jack and Coke.
It was rough. It was rough. It was really rough.
That's a good one. That's tremendous, actually. Whoa.
That was a bad one.
So you didn't go out and look for it? You didn't try and do the old pet cemetery?
Absolutely not. I was like, I don't want to know what's down there. I don't want to know what it looks like. I was like, fuck this. And I just hurried my ass right back to our campsite.
And it was just just like a sign on the road?
Just a sign on the road, but it was hand painted. It wasn't like a actual sign that was like, oh yeah, hey, federally protected Native American burial ground, do not enter, blah 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 blah. It was like plank of wood where it was painted white, and in red paint wrote Native American burial ground 1 mile up the road.
Okay.
I was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's that drastically changes the picture I had in my head.
Yeah, it was not great. I guess I don't really mind doxing this one, but I used to work at an indoor water park. It was a vacation complex out in the middle of Bonk, Illinois.
No, is there a monster over there?
It's got some ghost stories.
Okay.
You know? And I was the security guard on the weekends. So from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., I had the run of the place. It was me and the night auditor. And she was just this sweet old woman that stayed at the desk the entire time.
Okay.
So it was just me, you know? And this place was pretty fucking big considering how much of a piece of shit it was. It had a hotel, and then attached to the hotel was an indoor water park. And then across the parking lot was an indoor amusement park. And then if you follow a little road out into the back, there's like these cabins and villas and like the higher end stuff. And all I had was a walkie and a flashlight. You know, I kind of conned my way into the security guard position anyway. Like, that definitely did not a security guard. I did like maybe two security related incidents in the whole fucking 4 months I was the security guard.
Were you just like a dude doing rounds?
No, I was the water park manager for a while, and all my employees were fucking stoners. And so they would go out in the back of the water park through the back entrance on their breaks, and they would, you know, burn a little bush. And they got freaked the fuck out. They came up to me. They're like, hey, I think there's fucking cameras back there, man. Blah, 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 blah. Like, are we going to get in trouble? Like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like,
back there?
Yeah, absolutely. Huh. I was like, calm down, guys. So I went to the general. I was like, hey, man, are you like thinking about installing security cameras or anything like that? And he's like, did you install security cameras or anything like that? And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay, you know, my employees, they go out there on their smoke breaks and they thought they saw like cameras back there or something and they thought they were going to get in trouble for smoking back there. Cigarettes, of course. So like,
yeah.
One, like, is it cool that they smoke cigarettes back there? And he's like, no, I don't care. And I was like, cool. And then secondly, like, you wouldn't install security cameras unless you needed a security department, right? And he's like, I've actually been thinking about starting one up. And, you know, I kind of conned my way into the position. But it was pretty sweet. That job, best job ever. But anyway, everyone that worked there, like all the owners and all that shit, they were some seedy people. And they closed the indoor amusement park for quote unquote renovations and never opened it back up. They just started stripping the place and trying to like make a buck off of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it just became a decrepit building.
It's a bit of a ghost area now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's a ghost town up there, man. Because there was a fire in it shortly after I started college.
I remember. But anyway. That. Okay. Okay.
Anyway, we we go, and I'm working, and the area was so big that I had this kicking rad little golf cart that I would just cruise around the place. I got so bored one night. I was like, let's see what's going on in the amusement, man. And I went in there, and like, it was just so much like dread, like from the second I stepped in there, first of all. And they had this like decorative high point in the place, because the whole theme of the place was like wilderness.
Yes.
And so the whole inside of the amusement park is painted like a forest. And there was this decoration in there in these high-ass vaulted ceilings. And there was a decoration in the back corner that was like all the way up to the ceiling. And it was like a ranger tower, like a fire watch tower.
All the ranger tower, yep.
And talking to some of the former indoor amusement park employees, they were telling me that, like, oh yeah, you know, sometimes there's a man in the ranger tower.
No sir, there should not be. Oh my god.
And I, like, first of all, this was like damn, like it was a shell of itself, you know.
Was the rock golem still there?
Luckily the rock golem was not there.
Damn.
I don't think I could have went in there if it was, in fear of it like turning on and like chasing me like a Scooby-Doo monster.
Yeah, the like 30 foot tall like the thing monster.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find a picture of the rock golem.
So did you ever see the lone wanderer up in the fire tower?
I'll get to that in a second.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord.
Oh, come on. There's got to be a picture of the Grand Bear Rock Golem. Come on.
It's okay. You can take all the time you need. I made a note of the time. We can chop it out.
Okay. But anyway, I was like, I'm like walking around and like this, I'm 100% sure that this one was in my head because I was like, I knew I went in there with the thought of the man in the Ranger Tower in my head, you know? So I was like, you know, don't look, just don't look. You know, but I just felt like a beam of dread focusing me from that, from the Ranger Tower, you know?
If you've gotten to the point where you're like, I'm just not going to look, like I'm going to avoid it, you've already lost. It already has its power over you.
Yeah. And like, I think I like panned my flashlight maybe 3/4 of the way up the Ranger Tower. And I was like, I don't want to find out because I got to be here all night. And yeah. I just fucking left.
I hate that so much.
It was horrendous. It was one of the worst experiences.
I mean, that place wasn't locked, or you had the key?
I had the key. I had the master key.
Great.
And I guess, you know, something a little more tangible for my security guard days. I was just, you know, a lot of times when I was bored, I would just sit in the golf cart, chain smoke cigarettes and watch YouTube videos. And there was one day that these guys were like, I just heard like screaming from over by the villas, you know? And I'm like, okay, well, let's go see what's going on. They're probably just wiling out. And I fucking drive back there and I see like a whole group of people like freaking out. And like one dude is just walking off and in his hand is a power drill.
Oh my, like Leatherface, like
just like it was like a power drill. Yeah, and like, I was like, I asked the people, I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And they're like, oh, you know, nothing. I'm pretty sure they were smoking weed and they just were afraid I was going to call the cops. And I was like, look, I don't care if you guys are drinking or smoking or whatever, but like, why the fuck are you screaming? Why does that guy have like a power drill? What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you know, like they've just been drinking all night and like he like tried to attack him with that drill. And I'm like, he's attacking people with a drill? And they're like, yeah. And I like started following the guy in the golf cart.
What were you going to do against the drillman?
I was going to see if he was okay because I don't want to say I knew the guy, but he owned one of the villas, you know, so it wasn't like a weekly guest or whatever that I'd never see again in my life. But like that guy would like get drunk at the hotel bar and I would like just give him rides back to his villa.
Okay. So he's,
you know, so like I didn't know him. I didn't know his fucking name, but I'd seen him around and I was just going to be like, hey, man,
a face. Yeah.
Hey, man. Hey, man. And he just like kept walking. And I was like, well, I'm calling the cops. I fucking called the cops.
Oh, the drill man.
And yeah. Like he just walked into the woods.
Oh, it wasn't like down the paved road to the villas?
He walked down the paved road, walked around his villa, and like turned the corner maybe to like go in the back door, but that's when I quit. I was like, I'm not going. I don't know what's happening behind there, you know?
Yeah, to follow that man into his home turf. No, sir.
I don't know how pissed that guy is or anything like that, but like, I'm getting the... Nope, I'm not following you into the dark.
And like, no disrespect to the Dan from high school, but you put on a little muscle since then. You were a little dangly back in the day. I don't know if you could have
no.
beat the drillman.
I could not have beat the drillman. I stayed like maybe like 20 feet behind him in the golf court.
Okay.
So I could just whip it around.
I mean, that park's not too far away from where those murders were, right?
Ah, yes.
Mm.
the blank blank murders.
Maybe we could dig
also
into that.
That also has deep American ties. So people talk about Native American like scenario.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that place could be a whole episode. That's a rich nugget to crack.
Yeah, that place, best job I ever had. I got away with so much.
Did you know I vomited in that water park I used to work at? When I was a kid, I was in the wave pool and I took in too much water and I just, let it back out.
Yeah, that's why I just turned off the waves. And then people would be like, we paid for the wave pool. Why isn't it on? And I'm like, it's broke.
Wave pool broke.
Wave pool machine broke. You have any other stories you'd like to share?
How long have we
been going for?
We're at 55.
Oh, bet. We got time for a little more.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to finish it off with the winner.
I mean, if you got one more, I'm excited to hear it, and then we can go into the winner.
I
would like to hear your recollection of it. You're a masterful storyteller.
I didn't really tell anyone anything from our camping trip this summer.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about this one.
There was something going on at that camping trip we had this summer.
I remember we kept trying to gaslight Measle
into thinking,
So we'd be standing around the fire. We're the only ones at this campsite because it was, it was a little chilly. We're the only ones at this campsite. I called the lady and she's like, oh yeah, I mean like, yeah, I got spots open as long as you don't mind being out here alone. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, that's perfect. I'm bringing a bunch of rambunctious man children. So I would love to be alone. And they're like, okay. And the whole time we would just be like, we'd just be standing around the fire in the middle of the night and we'd just be like, hey, Measle, that guy over there is waving to you. And he'd be like, there's no fucking guy back there. And we'd be like, then why is he back there waving?
He clearly wants to talk to you. Yeah.
We were just jacking around, having a good time. And then, I don't remember anything crazy about that, but I'm interested to hear what happened to you out there.
I don't know if you remember this and all the fun, but I took like a little break from the fire for a bit. I took a little time to myself out in the woods.
Where did you go?
I just, took a little skip, just a little hop around.
Just a little walkie?
Yeah, it was a wonderful sight, big, beautiful open field right next to the forest.
And right next to the river. It was really cool. That's why I always go back to that place.
And the river. It was around the, where you taught me how to do the A-frame?
Yeah.
It was like a patch of woods right by the mouth of that little stream.
Uh-huh.
I went over there to take a piss and like just to walk a bit.
Uh-huh.
I feel like, I don't know if it's true, but there were some eyes on the other side of that river. Like,
no way.
Directly across the river from where we were.
No way.
There was something. It was that, I don't know what the word's called. The red, like, flashy eyes.
Oh, like, that you see in, like, a cat or something?
Like a nocturnal creature.
Oh,
there was something on the other side of that river, and it fucking scared the shit out of me. Oh my god.
Why didn't you say anything?
I didn't want to freak everyone out. Oh,
holy shit.
It sat there and it looked, and I just looked at it and I was like,
Did you hear it? Did it
didn't
move
hear anything.
Around?
Didn't move. That was the worst part, is it just looked.
Stationary. Like, all right, well, bye.
It's like, I'm on this side of the river. You're not going to get me.
I hope you don't have wings.
Wings or webbed feet, or you can jump. Hopefully not.
Oh, that's fucked.
Yeah, it was enough to freak me out that night, and I snuggled into my sleeping bag pretty tight.
I'm surprised you didn't sleep in the tent after that.
No, I don't have a crippling rabies fear like some people.
Because Measle was like, well, I'm setting up the tent. And I was like, no, fuck that. I'm sleeping out under the stars.
No, I took a happy medium of on the ground, but in the cocoon. So maybe the
wrap
beast...
Wrap yourself the fuck up.
Yeah, maybe it would have found an easier target if it did come around.
God damn.
Because, like, we don't get anything that big around us, do we?
No, not really. We don't have, like, bears. Like, the biggest thing we have is a deer.
Someone had said...
Did it look like it was standing up, like it was bipedal?
I could not tell you.
Jesus.
Too much fear to be start taking, like, anatomical notes. big.
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 Okay.
Red eyes. Stationary. doesn't blink, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, there were, like, cabins over there, weren't there?
Like, in a different spot, but we, like, particularly were like, no, give us the primal camping,
mm-hmm.
or the primitive camping, and then alternatively, nothing on the other side of the river.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah, like, what, how did he get over there?
Man, that's pretty fucked.
I'm glad I kept it in, because I feel like it would have soured some of the fun, knowing that we were being fucking stalked by a beast.
So, is that, like, a no-go for you for, like, next summer? Like, you don't want to go back?
No, I want to go back. I want to go back.
I bet we are going back.
I want to go back in the winter. I want to go back in the summer.
Ooh. I hope they're open in the winter.
I'm campaigning hard for a winter camping.
Oh, winter camping is going to be great.
That's the most recent, yeah.
Let's go ahead and move into probably one of the foundational moments of us saying, let's start Mad Tower Radio.
The most haunting experience of my life?
I want you to tell it.
Oh, God. There's parts of Illinois, there's parts of rural Illinois that can only be described as like Silent Hill zones. Like you're hours from anything. You've been in the cornfields for a mind-numbing amount of time, and then all of a sudden you don't remember turning off into a country road, and you don't remember when the trees started to form like a canopy over you. But you get to these spots, and
I call them Blair Witch Zones.
It's absolutely these horrifying, like, deep country roads. And we had to take a pilgrimage to get to and from college.
Yeah. It was, like, what, 6 hours?
It was, like, six. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I...
Christian refused to take the interstate because, one, it was boring, and he'd fall asleep. And two, it was easier on the gas.
It is more efficient and more entertaining to take the back roads on that trek. And I had done it, you know, like 20 times. And I needed something with a couple turns, because you can get on the highway and go for 5 hours straight, but I'd lose my fucking mind.
Yep.
I would get the highway madness. So I usually take the back roads. And
to be fair, it is more entertaining.
This was a return trip, yeah?
No, this was a, return to home.
Yeah, we were leaving college. And it's late at night. Like, we were in one of these, you know, classic Blair Witch zones. You know, deep... pebbly, like, tree canopy, so you can't see shit but what the headlights are giving you. And
mm-hmm.
We were probably bullshitting about something spooky, too. Probably.
I think we were talking about one of your many night terrors.
You know, it comes up a lot. It sucks. But we were definitely in that, like, that state of mind to be haunted.
Yeah, for sure we were.
This is completely different from, like, the old car hauntings in high school when we would build our own nightmares. But we're driving through this surprisingly I wouldn't call it like mountainous, but there was like some hills.
It was hilly.
And there's not a lot of hills in Illinois, but we're cresting this wood hill, and our lights just hit this ghoul in the middle of the street, just like this hunched over like being, like shuffling in the middle of the fucking road.
The only time in my life that I have audibly screamed because of fear.
That's the thing that I remember the clearest is the just instant, the heat of like that scream that came out. Oh,
it was both of us too.
Yeah.
We both flipped.
I think it was a person. It had something in its hand. Do you remember that?
I think it was a dude. It was like some kind of homeless dude.
But there was something in his hand, and he was walking through the middle of the street, and I had to do like a swerve maneuver and just kept on driving. Just was like, I gotta keep going. I gotta get as far away as possible from whatever just happened.
You were just like, what the fuck?
And it woke me up for the final stretch home, we'll say.
Yeah. Oh my god, it was intense. It was one of the most insane moments ever.
Yeah, I don't get many adrenaline pumps, but that was like a full alert moment.
Didn't he have a dog with him too?
There was a dog. There was definitely a dog.
There was a dog with him. It was insanity. Like, it's pitch black. It's not like he's like walking in the middle of the road down some neighborhood with street lights. Like, we were in the middle of fucking nowhere.
It wasn't the side of the road where people walk. It was like right down the middle.
His clothes were all like torn and raggedy too. Like,
yeah, it was a little disheveled.
It was insanity. I was like, what are you doing out here?
And oh my god,
it was crazy.
I'm sweating remembering it. I'm surprised.
The drive home is nuts. Driving in like nowhere Illinois is scary. Anywhere in Illinois, if you're driving like through cornfields and shit, you can just see this ominous red synchronous flashing off in the distance from anywhere. It's the wind turbines. But if you don't know that, like, it looks fucking creepy.
The first time, yeah, you get up on like a vaguely elevated place and you look out over the flatlands and you see these red blinking lights just out over the night sky. It's amazing and horrifying.
Oh man.
Oh, that's...
What, didn't we see like two dudes in a cornfield illuminated by like truck headlights shortly after that, and they looked like they were just digging out there?
We had definitely seen like a truck out in the fields, and you know that the like classic like dig a fucking ditch in the headlights. It was something. They were doing something in the front of the car. I don't know if they were like the farmers checking on the fucking crop at 3 a.m. I don't know what dudes do.
Oh, that was terrible.
But they were doing something.
It was bad.
And after you're like already left in that state of fear, like anything's gonna get you at that point. Because
we would always just be like, yeah, let's leave at night, you know, like it'll be chill, less drivers, you know.
Over the course of 6 hours, I'm not leaving at like 8 in the morning so I can get home in the sun. Like, you're eventually gonna get the sunset in the night. Usually, yeah. With that drive, but I don't want to go back there anymore. I feel like I remembered it and was like, would it tense up when I got back to that path on later drives?
For sure.
Like, it just, there's a certain, like, 2.5 hours in, there's this, like, haunted forest.
For sure.
Oh my gosh.
There's some fucking whack-ass creepy roads right here in my backyard in Louisiana. I purposely add another 20 minutes onto my trips home just because I don't want to drive on this road.
For, like, convenient safety reasons or just because, like, it's haunting?
Safety reasons and it's haunting, man. The first time I drove that road, it was insanity. But I think I'll save that for a personal experiences part two.
Part two, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I still got some stuff left that I haven't told.
Oh, yeah, I didn't dish it all out. You know, you got to hold some things close.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, hopefully you all enjoyed this new style of episode, more freeform, blah, 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 blah. We're going to start moving into some more stuff like this, yeah. Hopefully getting some guests on in the near future.
Just trying to.
But if there's anything you guys want to see, go ahead, leave a comment, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, whatever fucking social medias you're on.
Yeah, no, I want to hear people's haunting like stories.
I want you to send me your experiences.
Desperately, I want it.
I'm done asking. Send me your experiences, or I'll block you.
I know like 5. People who'd be listening to this, send me something.
Yeah.
You can't trick me. You can't hide.
Yeah. Stop dodging me.
I'm in your ears.
Send me personal experiences.
Where could they send them if they're ready to send me their stories?
Oh, you could easily send them to us at... One second here. Let me pull it up. I don't want to fuck this up because I never use the show email. You can send them to us at supermadtower, all lowercase, no spaces, at gmail.com.
Look how easy that
or
is.
Or you could send them on Twitter, at Mad Tower Radio. Send them on Instagram, at Mad Tower Radio. You can send them to me fucking personally on Twitter, Facebook, if you know me in real life. I really don't give a fuck. Just get these to me. You can text them to me if you have my number.
Write me a letter. Like, I want them.
Mail. Anything at all. Please. I want to know what the people have out there. Well, anyways, folks, this has been Mad Tower Radio. We hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll catch you next time. Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.